9 hours later, we're all still in the meeting. The clients have gone. Now it's up to us, the lawyers, to work out what they said and what they actually meant and put it all into a draft contract. It's 7:19, and in 11 minutes, I'm supposed to be sitting down to dinner with my mother and brother Daniel. I'll have to cancel my own birthday dinner. Even as I think the thought, I can hear the outraged voice of my friend Freya ringing in my mind. They can't make you stay at work on your birthday. What she doesn't understand is the deadline comes first. All right, people. Ketterman's voice commands immediate attention. We have to adjourn. What? My head pops up. Until we have the documentation from Fallon's, we can't proceed. I'll see you all tomorrow at 9. He sweeps out. I gather up my papers and push back my chair. My taxi edges through the traffic on Cheapside. I'm wearing a black suit, as I always do. I free my mouse-coloured hair from its elastic band, comb it out, then twist it back into place. Nice evening planned, says the taxi driver. It's my birthday, actually. He twinkles at me. You'll be partying then. Kind of. My family and parties don't exactly go together. But even so, it'll be really great for us to see each other. It doesn't happen very often. We have very busy careers. My mother is a barrister. My brother is head of investment at Witten's. My dad lives in South Africa with his third wife, but that's okay. My mother's got enough energy for two parents. We come to a halt outside the restaurant and I pay the taxi driver and hurry inside. Hi, I say to the maitre d'. I'm meeting Ms. Tennyson. That's Mum. She disapproves of women taking the name of their husband. The maitre d' leads me to an empty table and I slide onto the suede banquette. I smile at the waiter who approaches. I'd like a Buck's Fizz, a gimlet and a martini, please. Mum always drinks gimlets and Daniel won't say no to a martini. The waiter nods and disappears. As I scan the menu, I suddenly feel ravenous. It all looks so yummy. Glazed foie gras, lamb with spiced hummus, chocolate mint souffle. Miss Sweeting. I look up to see the maitre d' approaching, holding a mobile phone. I have your mother on the telephone. Samantha, comes a crisp voice in my ear. Darling, I can't come tonight, I'm afraid. My smile falters. Not even for a drink. Her chambers are only 5 minutes away. I'm in court tomorrow, but have a nice evening with Daniel. Oh, have you heard about the partnership? Not that file. Hold the line, Samantha. Samantha. I look up to see a girl in a powder blue suit approaching. She's holding a gift basket. I'm Lorraine, Daniel's PA, she says. He couldn't make it tonight, I'm afraid. But he's here on the phone. She holds out a mobile. I take it and press it to my other ear.
Hi, Samantha, comes Daniel's drawl. Look, sweets, we're on a mega deal. I can't be there, sorry. But have a great time with Mom, won't you? I've sent some chocolates along with Lorraine. Pick them out myself.
I look at the gift basket. It isn't chocolates, it's soap. That's lovely, Daniel. Thanks. There's sudden chorusing behind me. I swivel round to see a waiter carrying over a cocktail glass. A sparkler is fizzing out of it and Happy Birthday Samantha is written in caramel on the steel tray next to a miniature souvenir menu signed by the chef. Three waiters are following behind, singing in harmony.
Happy birthday to you.
Samantha, Mum's saying, are you still there? They're singing happy birthday. I put the phone on the table. After a moment's thought, I put the other phone on the other side. This is my birthday party. Two cell phones. So anyway, Lorraine retrieves Daniel's mobile and pops it into her bag. Happy birthday. As she tip-taps her way out of the restaurant, I pick up the other phone to say goodbye, but Mum's already rung off. It's just me and a basket of soap.
Do you wish to order?
The maitre d' has reappeared. I'll just get the bill, thanks. As I stand outside the restaurant, a taxi pulls up right in front of me. The rear door opens and a flip-flop emerges, followed by an embroidered caftan, tousled blonde hair. Freya, I say in disbelief. What are you doing here? I thought you were going to India. I'm on my way. I'm meeting Lord at the airport. She pulls a guilty face and I can't help laughing. I've known Freya since we were both 7 years old and starting boarding school together. I'm here to gatecrash your birthday dinner. What happened? Well, Mum and Daniel left early. As she peers at me, Freya's expression changes to one of horror.
Didn't turn up? The bastards! Sorry, they're your family.
I shrug. Oh, I've got a pile of work to get through anyway.
Work? Now?
Samantha, what happened to your life? I want to be a partner. You have to make sacrifices.
And what happens when you make partner? Does it get easier?
I shrug evasively. Freya's mobile starts ringing, but she ignores it. She's rummaging in her bag. She produces a tiny, intricately worked silver perfume bottle.
Here.
She thrusts it at me. I turn it over in my fingers. It's amazing. Oh, I thought you'd like it. She pulls her mobile out.
Look, Lord, I'll be there, okay?
Freya's husband's full name is Lord Andrew Edgerly. Freya's nickname for him started as a joke and just kind of stuck. Oh, thanks for coming. Thanks for this. I hug her. Have a fabulous time in India.
We will.
Freya is climbing back into her taxi.
And if you want to come out, just let me know. I'll cover for you, whatever your story is.
The door slams and she sticks her head out of the window.
And don't go back to the office!
Her taxi roars off. I wait until she's disappeared, then stick my hand out for another taxi.
Carter Spink, please,
I say as it pulls up. Of course I'm going back to the office.